This is 90.9 FM WDCB and WDCB HD Glen Ellyn. Welcome to hour number two on this beautiful Friday evening. Fall is in the air, and we just have spring thoughts too. But no, enjoy it. Enjoy the leaves. Enjoy it all. I am so excited in this hour because I get to interview someone with a dual personality. It's kind of like, remember, I guess she reminds me of, was it Batgirl? What was her name? She was librarian by day, and then she was Commissioner Gordon's daughter, Barbara. There you go. Barbara Gordon. But then in the evening, she becomes this superhero. And I tell you, she's one of my heroes. That is none other than Alison Rubel. Welcome to The Real Deal.
Hey, thanks, Armour. It's great to be here.
All right. I want to first start where most of our listeners know you, and that's as a jazz vocalist, because I have played your CDs, both of them, quite
all
often.
Right.
Everyone knows.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about, first of all, what brought you to Chicago and what brought you into the jazz scene?
Well, I came to Chicago, as many young folks do, to finish school, to pursue music and the arts. I'm originally from Ohio, got to get that in.
Right. But
I came here to pursue that. I was originally working in theater, but I ended up missing music a great deal. Uh-huh. I started studying music back in high school and, of course, college. But really, Chicago was a logical move for me to sort of advance what I wanted to pursue at the level that I wanted to pursue. And it just really became home. It's hard to believe I've been here a little over 20 years.
Is that right?
It flies by.
Wow. What school did you come to?
Well, I started at Bowling Green State, and then I ended up finishing my degree at Northeastern Illinois.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. In education, too?
Vocal performance.
Vocal performance.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. And I think I met you, I know exactly when I met you. I was performing at the Green Mill.
It was a dark and stormy night.
It was a dark and stormy night. Actually, it was darker inside the Green Mill. And it was one of those typical Friday night Green Mill crowds where you can't even walk anywhere. And I sort of made my way to the door to get some air. And you stopped me and handed me your new CD. This was 2008, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And I played it on the way home and said, wow.
Oh, wow.
I like this. This is great. So...
Well, I'm glad that you played it. I'm glad I gave it to you at that time.
Yeah, and that was long before this radio show, so
yeah.
My listeners know why I love Alison. So I also read that you are a visual artist as well.
Yes, that is a hobby, another pursuit of a passion, I guess you could say. It's something I don't have as much time to do as I'd like. Mm-hmm. Certainly for my first album, This Is a Bird, I did original screen prints on textiles, and that was just a wonderful project to do because the music and the art kind of came together at the same time, and it really was, I didn't intend it to happen that way, but it did. And then for the second album, Ashland, I did screen prints on copper plate and etching. So that was fun, too, and I had an opportunity to explore that. And that was a little more literal about, wow, I think I want to do this for this next album. I want to actually do this as a project.
Sure. So how does that connect for you, the creative process? Are you using two different sides of your brain, one for visual art and one for music, or do you find them the same?
Well, I have a split personality. We did establish
that.
That's
right. I was talking about something else.
You know, I think it does kind of come together. It's about looking, whether you're listening to something or you're putting something down visually on paper, it's thinking abstractly about it. Obviously, you know, the joy, the power of music is... It's capturing a feeling, it's capturing an emotion without having to say anything. Sometimes for the vocalists, of course, you are saying things, but in between those words is melody, and the sounds of those vowels is still a melody. It's a tone. In visual art, it's, of course, you are expressing something by things you choose to put down on that paper, and the tones and the color you use. And there can be a rhythm, even if you look at paper and you look at a piece of work. You could almost say you could establish rhythm by looking at it, or if you listen to that piece of music and that piece of art together. I think it starts with curiosity, and then you just kind of follow an idea. And
awesome.
It goes with music and with art.
Sure. Well, did you start off as a jazz vocalist?
No. I started off as a classical vocalist.
Wow.
And I studied classical music. And actually, that was a great way to start, I think, because technique-wise, I was learning a lot about the voice as an instrument. And it wasn't just an accidental thing when notes came out. I knew how to produce or breathe or produce a certain tone a certain way. So it didn't take long to kind of shake free from the structure of classical singing.
Mm-hmm.
It took a little while, but I hung around with a lot of horn players.
Ah,
or at least that's what I tell myself, because that actually was very helpful. Because in classical music, you're thinking about a vocal line, you're thinking about a tone, and of course it's a very structured place that it sits. It's a beautiful pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to take that same pursuit of tone and you listen to a jazz player, you listen to a trumpet player, mm-hmm. and you hear, they're actually trying to oftentimes emulate the human voice. So it was it was listening to it in a new way, thinking about rhythm, thinking about tone. So I think that kind of helped spark the idea of, wow, this could be accomplished. It took some time because you have to straighten out that vibrato and you have to lower that voice a little bit.
Right. But so it's like learning a new language in a sense.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. And hanging out at the Green Mill helped out too, because you just by osmosis, you're going to absorb the people and the tone and the late night hang.
Oh, I was going to ask you, so you do those really late, early morning hangs as well?
You get a jazz tone, one way or another.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I used to. I had, for a while, I was doing gigs. I was singing at the Hump Room, and I was getting up and doing a church gig in the morning.
Oh,
and so needless
Amazing
to say, I was,
grace.
Yeah, it was contralto time. Yeah,
<That's right>.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, one of our WDCB personalities, Barry Winograd, comes late night.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I confess, I hardly ever heard his group except when I'm waiting for my money to get out the door. I mean, come on. It's like 1:30 in the morning.
That's when it's just getting started.
I know. Holy cow. But you would hang out the whole time.
Like, well, no. You know, I'm not, didn't regularly close the place down or anything, but enough to absorb the scene.
So let's hear the first side of this dual personality of Alison Ruvo. Let's play something from your 2008 CD, This Is a Bird. You pick it.
Oh, then I think we should do Lazy Afternoon.
I think so, too. Well, check it out. This is a Lazy Evening with Alison Ruvo on 90.9 FM WDCB, The Real Deal.
It's a lazy afternoon. The tulip trees are blooming. The beetle bugs are zooming. There's not another human in view but us two. It's a lazy afternoon. The farmer leaves his reaping. In the meadow cows are sleeping. The speckled trout stops leaping upstream as we dream. A fat pink cloud hangs over the hill, unfolding like a rose. If you hold my hand and sit real still, you can hear the grass as it grows. It's a hazy afternoon. I know a place that's quiet, but for days is running light. There's no one passing by to see. Come spend this lazy afternoon with me. can hear the grass as it grows. It's a hazy afternoon. I know a place that's quiet, but for days is running right. There's no one passing by to see. Come spend this lazy afternoon.
Alison Rubel from her debut CD, This is a Bird. And I'm sitting across the table from none other than Alison Rubel.
Hello.
Wow, thank you for joining me on The Real Deal. This is so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So that was your first CD
in
2008.
Yes.
And you've recently recorded a new CD.
Well, it's not as recent anymore. That came out in 2010.
Okay.
But Ashland, yeah, well, time flies. Yeah, that second album is called Ashland.
Okay. Why did you name it? Is it because of the street?
You know, a lot of people ask that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a feeling. It's actually where I grew up. It's a town that I grew up in Ohio.
Okay.
And also, you know, you look at the word and it's really not meant to be a literal, like, this is my experience growing up. It's sort of just an interesting, well, I don't want to define it. I'll let the listener define
it. Okay, that's
but
nice.
It is, in fact, a town I grew up in. I even lived on Ashland Avenue here
right?
in Chicago, but not related.
Okay.
Or is it? Just don't know.
That's good. And see, that is a close tie to visual art.
Yes.
Because you don't want to say exactly.
That's right.
You don't want to talk between the lines, right?
That's right.
All right.
That's right. You got to keep it open-ended.
That's
keep
right.
your options open.
That's right. So in the midst of your busy schedule, do you keep the same band most of the time when you perform and record?
Well, you know, I try to. I mean, somewhat. Certainly collaborated with John McLean. John produced both albums and was a creative force throughout both of them. Did many of the arrangements. Some of the arrangements sort of erupted out of playing the gigs with the guys. Certainly, you know, playing with Larry Cohut a lot. Carl Monska, loved playing with him as well. Eric Monska, the Monska Brothers.
Yeah.
And so I think for the first album, it was a little bit more of a collaborative. The roadmap wasn't maybe as steady. We kind of changed things as we went along. But Ashland, we definitely went in with a more of a tighter roadmap and, you know, laid the tracks down in a particular way. And and so then when, you know, the album came out and I'm playing it, yeah, you want to play with the guys that you did the album with as much as possible.
It's an all-star band, too, though. I mean,
they're not too shabby. Not too bad. Yeah, no, very, very, you know, and it's just a testament to, I mean, the wealth of talent we have here in Chicago, right? I mean, you could call. There's five great people you could call.
True.
And but no, we have a lot of fun. It's also kind of how if you all kind of speak the same language at the same time,
right.
That makes it also fun.
Right.
There's also the hang. You know, you got to hang.
That's
you got to
right.
feel good together.
That's
and
right.
I think that we accomplished that.
And I think the second time that our path crossed was actually a WDCB event. It was a WDCB festival, summer festival, a couple years ago.
Yes, that's right.
And I performed right after you.
That's right.
And I just remember when I walked up, just all the guys and Jim Gallaretto and Kurt Elling's wife was hanging with us.
That's
Jennifer
right.
Jennifer was hanging. And,
that's right.
And, of course, John.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a great night. And, you know, outdoor stage, perfect weather. I think that was a great turnout. And that was fun. And Steve Million, I think, was on
that gig that night, which
was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, no, it's certainly, I think, putting a band together, it's a larger size group. And so the venues being as they are these days, you don't always get the opportunity to do the full measure, right? So that was also fun because we had, you know, the whole group there. And that was a good thing. So.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to call the next piece that we'll hear.
All right.
This is your delivery on this standard. And actually, what I find interesting is that it's really not known as a jazz standard as much as a what would you say, just a great American song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Summer Knows.
The Summer Knows.
All right, get ready, everyone. Check this out. Alison Rubel with The Summer Knows.
The summer smiles, the summer knows. Unashamed, she sheds her clothes. The summer smooths the restless sky. Lovingly, she warms the sand on which you lie. The summer knows, the summer's wise. She sees the doubt within your eyes. And so she takes her summer time, tells the moon to wait and the sun to linger. The world round her little finger lets you see the wonder of it all. And if you've learned your lesson well, there's a little more for her to tell. One last caress. It's time to dress for fall. The summer smiles, the summer knows. Unashamed, she sheds her clothes. The summer smooths the restless sky. Lovingly she warms the sand on which you lie. The summer knows, the summer's wise. She sees the doubt within your eyes. And so she takes her summer time, tells the moon to wait and the sun to linger, twists the world around her little finger, lets you see the wonder of it all. And if you've learned your lesson well, there's a little more for her to tell. One last caress. It's time to dress for fall. The world around her little finger lets you see the wonder of it all. And if you've learned your lesson well, there's a little more for her to tell. One last caress, it's time to dress for fall.
This is 90.9 FM, WDCB and WDCB HD, Glen Ellyn. I'm Orbert Davis, host of The Real Deal with Orbert Davis. And we're in our second hour of tonight's program, the hour that we sometimes devote to healthy conversations in jazz, put it that way. I'm so honored to be in conversation with Alison Rubel. Thank you so much, Alison.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we just heard The Summer Knows from your latest CD entitled Ashland.
Yes.
Very nice. So I am very interested in kind of moving into this next topic because only recently I discovered one of your passions, and that has to do with your other job.
Yes.
Tell us the path to getting there.
Well, my other job, you might be referring to the USO of Illinois, of which I'm the president and CEO currently, and I've been with the USO almost 10 years now. Wow. The USO, I don't know, for those who may not know, they think of Bob Hope and the 1940s,
right.
And it is, in fact, the same USO as the 1940s, so it's a 71-year-old, over 71 years old organization, a nonprofit organization,
yeah.
And still does the same good and entertainment for our service members, but so much more today,
yeah.
Really attends to the quality of life aspects for our service members and their families. I started as a volunteer, and I was asked to do a show, and then I just kind of kept saying yes to things. Orbert, I can do that. I could do that.
Sure,
and
sure.
Really what I discovered was, you know, as a musician, I think we put our energy and our devotion into a pursuit of something that we believe is greater than ourselves, and we send it out into the world, and it just goes, and that's the beauty of music. And I think for me, it became, wow, I'm performing, I'm doing this good for these service members and their families who are voluntarily doing so many things for me, and I found just an incredible audience. But beyond that, and the USO is more than just entertainment, as I mentioned, I started working in programs and public relations, and just fell in love with the creativity. As an organization, the USO is always asking, where are we needed most? What can we do to make the lives of these men and women and their families better? Mm-hmm. And if you watch the news today, there certainly has never been a time or a greater need. As some Americans are suffering with the economy, it's doubly and sometimes triply so for our military community.
Sure.
So I think for me, it just I did fall in love with the mission of what we do and the good that we do. It really does deliver good to people, and it's about helping people. And those men and women in those uniforms, they are behind that uniform, they're like you and me. They're human
yeah.
beings.
Yeah.
They love music. They love art, and they also are, you know, love their families and love this country.
Wow. And that's one of the reasons why you're here today, because we are in the weekend before Veterans Day.
Yes, that's right.
And so we thought at The Real Deal with Orbert Davis, we thought that what a great honor to our veterans would be to have you here to honor our veterans for what they do and how they serve us.
Thank you.
So, Allison, tell us a little bit about the USO. You know, when I think of the USO, I think of the Andrews Sisters.
Right.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
There you go. I bet you've played that before.
Many times.
Well, yes, that is the legacy of the USO. USO stands for United Service Organizations, USO. And it's a nonprofit, non-government, 501c3 organization and has been since day one, February 4th, 1941.
So it's not a government organization.
No, then. Not at all. From day one is that way. It's about American citizens supporting the men and women of our services.
Wow.
Yes. So, from those beginnings, and you mentioned Andrew Sisters, that's the the entertainment with the ideas that you could take a slice of home overseas and lift the morale of our troops. And they, in turn, would do a better job. They would feel better. It would be showing them support from the home front, but they also would be able to do their jobs over there better, knowing that people cared. In today's world, it's also knowing that their families are okay back home, because over half of our service members are married with kids today.
Is that right?
Yes. And so that is, the face of the 40s service member is different than today.
Of course. You know, and we're not talking about service men anymore. It's service
and women. Men and women. Exactly. Yeah, so you have moms and dads, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, your neighbor, your colleague, the person that carries your mail, the men and women that are, and by the way, we are still in the longest war in our nation's history.
That's right.
Think about that. And those are all volunteers, no draft. So these men and women they're really doing quite the work. And the thing about the USO is we are non-political. It's about taking care of the person behind the uniform.
Wow.
So it's really more about, regardless of if we're in times of peace, if we're in times of conflict or war, the USO is going to be a steady continuum of care for what is now today, not just the service person, but also their family, their dependents, as it's called. So it's definitely something we are we're seeing the needs as greater. I think we spoke a little before we started the interview today about just how the USO is needed. So beyond just the music, which is always important, and entertainment, that people know us for care packages. Now we're doing programs also that are helping them learn how to deal with their finances, financial literacy. There's a lot of service members coming back that are facing unemployment, skyrocketing unemployment, and financial instability. So we're evolving programs that attest to those issues in their life.
Wow, that is amazing. But describe to us the spark in your life that made you jump into this adventure. Was it a family member? Is there any sort of relationship to service people?
I have uncles that served in World War II, but no, I don't have any immediate family member that served. I think really it's a testament to, you don't have to be from a family of service members. You can just say, look, this is about caring about people. Yeah. This is about people, honestly. Mm-hmm. The USO is about helping people. And these people are your neighbors and your friends and your, sons and daughters. And to me, I think my training as a musician, as an artist and approaching, the School of Hard Knocks, you're a self-made person, right? You can appreciate so many things and so many passages and developments in life. I think being open and curious helped me to fall in love with this mission, meaning, wow, this is a pretty spectacular thing these people are doing, and these are some pretty spectacular programs this organization is doing to help them out. And it's also, it feeds on itself, because there are so many men and women out there that support, regardless of how you feel about wars. It's about, again, caring for people, and they're supportive of those people, the people, our fellow citizens, rather. It's a commonality. And I think the USO is important in that it connects American people to our men and women in uniform. And it's that conduit. You can come from any walk of life, and if you just want to say, hey, thanks. Now, whether that's from World War II, from Vietnam, from the Korean era, Persian Gulf wars, all of these times, it doesn't matter. It's a constant thing that someone can do and say thank you. So I think the USO is a real conduit for that.
Yeah, and what I appreciate what you're saying, because usually when we think of the USO of the past, of going to the troops, but you're saying that there's so much work being done right here. So we could call it Home and Away.
At Home and Away. That's exactly right. I think that's very, very well put.
Right. And I didn't come up with that, people. That's leading us to our next conversation.
You are good,
At Home
Warburg.
And Away. Okay, how do we talk about this? And we're both like, we're nothing but teeth right now, and you'll know why. So a year ago, our paths crossed again at a sporting event. And I was actually there as a composer, mm-hmm. and you were there as the president of USO. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know you were going to be there. I think our connector just said, Allison from the USO. And of course, we see each other like, hey!
I know you. So, yeah.
Kind of flash forward a year later, and what is this thing we're doing called Home and Away?
Well, this thing we're doing called Home and Away is, you know, embodies what we just talked about, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's connecting people to a feeling, to a sense of patriotism, to a sense of honoring and thanking mm-hmm. someone who has done something for you. The connector is, of course, your music. And what's amazing about it is if you were to say, how can you encapsulate the thousands of millions of ways that people may feel about supporting or what their sense of being a patriot is? Well, music can be that. We talked about abstract mm-hmm. and, you know, let it be open, and music can be that path. And I think what you've written helps us accomplish that. And then our partnership with USO is, of course, that we get to say, hey, listen to this. We help mm-hmm. elevate the story of saluting. So I think together it's pretty exciting.
Okay, and I'll backtrack a little bit. So I got the call from the Boeing Company mm-hmm. to compose a work that honors troops. Actually, I think the idea of composing was brought to me at the game. All I could hear was my family saying, that's not fair. You get to go to the Bears game. How come we can't go to the Bears game? I said, I don't know. I'll find out when I get there. But part of my commission was to experience that day.
Yes.
And to experience the celebratory nature of honoring our troops, saluting our troops, yet in the spirit of patriotism at a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
And so as in thinking about this, I said, wow, how does this connect? You know, like what is the thing that will get people to stand up and put their beers down for a second at the football games? And so I decided that the connector for the first movement would be the national anthem.
Perfect.
And this is, you know, as we were on the field, we had a chance to stand right on the field, and the Boeing jet flies over our heads right at the end of the Star Spangled Banner. So here's movement one, my version of the national anthem featuring the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic brass and percussion section.
Wow, Robert, that is beautiful.
Wow, thank you.
Beautiful
thank
piece. You. Very inspiring.
Got the trumpets up there in the altissimo range.
Yeah.
That's my wife always says, gold trumpets. That was the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Brass and Percussion Section, a brand new project that I have the honor of collaborating with our guest today on The Real Deal, Alison Rubel, in her role as the president of the United Service Organizations, otherwise known as USO of Illinois.
Yes, USO. Well, the USO is a worldwide organization.
Yes, it is.
Over, I think, 150 locations around the world. So we are the Illinois affiliate. Uh-huh. So USO of Illinois serves certainly all the service members that pass through at our airports. We have six facilities, which are sort of, if you're at the airport and you are flying on tour and you're like, boy, I'd really love to go in that Admiral's Club for those pilots. Well, the USO for our military is like an Admiral's Club at the airports and also at Navy Pier. So we're at two centers at O'Hare, one at Midway, one downtown at Navy Pier. We have one up on a Navy base way up at Great Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have one way out in the Quad Cities on the Rock Island Arsenal, historic arsenal out there.
Very
so
nice.
Those are facilities that we have. Yeah.
And so you do encourage regular citizens like me to be involved.
Yeah, you can volunteer. You can support the USO. You know, as a nonprofit, we're always looking for whether it's your time or your talents or just your financial giving. That all helps.
It does help.
And so, yes, you can learn more at our website, which is usoofillinois.org. You got to put the of in there, usoofillinois.org.
Okay.
And you can learn all about what we do and how to become a volunteer.
So, but this project, Home and Away, also offers other ways for all of us to be involved. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what's so great about it, and, you know, your piece, The Star-Spangled Banner, was so inspiring and uplifting. And I think that's what this Home and Away project is doing. It is inspiring and uplifting, you know, our neighbors, our friends, to take that moment and salute. The gesture of a salute is, hey, I appreciate you. You know, thanks for what you've done. Thanks for your sacrifices. For our Veterans Day, that's certainly what it's all about. So this is elevating that message. Mm-hmm. Definitely for the fans going to be in the stadium that day.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out more information, post your own picture of salute, you just go to facebook.com/USO of Illinois.
Awesome.
And that'll take them to the Home and Away page on our Facebook page.
I want to encourage musicians, especially you student musicians who are listening, do that. Hold your instrument in one hand and salute with the other hand.
Yeah.
We'll start our own little community as well.
Yeah.
Showing our support.
And if you go there, you can upload video of a salute. You can learn about the program and learn about a little bit, I think, about the project as
well. Wow. Can you imagine just thousands of people saluting the troop? I mean, this is such a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
To support our troops.
It's interactive. The day of, it's going to be very interactive, like in the stadium itself, but then afterwards. And then we're going to keep it up. And I dare say, can we say this?
We can say what we want to say.
I think we're going to keep, I think this project is going to have legs into next year. Can we say that?
I hope so. Well, I'm going to tell you my dream. My dream is to relive the USO tours. But instead of touring, let's just do it at home.
Yeah.
Let's have concerts and in the name of USO of Illinois, and
I think some good. Are we putting a plug in there for the future? Because
no,
I think these things could happen.
This is a wish list.
Yeah,
we're dreaming. We're dreaming on the air on The Real Deal.
Well, you know, I think that the outstanding musicians you have playing, not only in this recording but even in a live setting, is just that in itself is worth the price of admission. But it's the music behind that, and then it's that it's something bigger than yourself, and I think that's not only the power of music and jazz, of course, but it's certainly the power of this Home and Away project. It's about something bigger than yourself.
Yeah,
it's that stopping to take a moment and say, hey, thanks, and stopping to take a moment to listen to this piece.
But there's also other ways that people can download the music. It will be available on iTunes as
well. Yes, and that's what's really exciting is you can download this, I think, single tracks, or you can download the whole piece. And the really great thing is if we were talking about wanting to give back to something, I think a dollar for every track you buy, a dollar is going to be donated back to the USO in support of our service members.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually pretty great. And I want to thank you guys also for that, of course.
Oh, thank you so much. Like, I think it's time to play the third movement. The second movement is actually kind of a marching band celebration for our troops. But the third movement, I take extreme pride in. because in my research, I studied a book by Sebastian Yeager, who's a journalist who spent time in Afghanistan. And it's riveting. And there's also a DVD of his experience there entitled Restrepo.
Oh, that's a powerful movie.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So in composing the music, I basically took the emotions that I imagined that he and the servicemen, the soldiers who were in this platoon fighting,
yes,
what they would probably feel during that time. So here's the third movement of Home and Away. The title is The Face of the Enemy is Always Changing.
Thank you.
That was The Face of the Enemy is Always Changing, a brand new composition that I just composed, part of a commission by the Boeing Company for this incredible project that Allison and I are discussing. If you're just joining us, Allison Rubel and I are discussing. It's Home and Away.
Wow, Orber, that is a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
You know, and it's interesting. I remember us chatting when you were still in the process of tracking that you watched the movie Restrepo, as mm-hmm. we were talking about, yeah. and the just the juxtaposition of the silence and the waiting yes. next to the extreme danger. And right. I think that you can hear that in the piece. And that's, yeah. you know, it's that movie is powerful, but certainly yes. It's a very accurate representation of what mm-hmm. our troops today are experiencing.
Right, because sometimes we think of war, like if you think of the movie Saving Private Ryan, you see all the desolation, and it's black and white and gray. Mm-hmm. But the area in which our soldiers were fighting in Afghanistan is beautiful country. It's mm-hmm. it's absolutely breathtaking, some of the scenes.
Yes.
So I wanted to create something that was sort of bittersweet and longing, but yet dangerous.
Yeah, well, and it's time. A real it's a real accurate depiction. I mean, it's very good. I mean, I think that's the reality that many people don't realize right. is that we're fighting a very different kind of war these days.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to understand from here at home. And you know, projects. That's why this project, Home and Away. It's just, you know, regardless of where you come from, you can show appreciation for even if it's just, you know, your grandfather who served. Yeah. It's like a shout out to him or your grandmother. I mean, there were women serving on the front lines
that's
in
right.
World War II and certainly conflicts since then. It's just a simple way to show appreciation.
Right.
And I think it's easy to do. Facebook.com/ USO of Illinois.
Excellent. But the piece was called The Face of the Enemy is Always Changing. And it's part of this project, as Allison just said, it's a way that all of us can get involved. But in 2 days at the Bears game, there's lots of activity and an unveiling of a
yeah.
video, which
yep.
some of the music will be a backdrop for that. Various tributes. Mm-hmm. And you will be there.
I will be there. Yeah,
all
it's
right.
a Veterans Day game. The Chicago Bears. It's going to be a great day.
And there'll be lots of fan activities. And,
yes, there's game day activities for the fans. Of our Facebook page will be, I'm think it's going to be all lit up at Home and Away Facebook page with people posting pictures, and it's going to be really fun.
Awesome, awesome. I'll be there too.
Yeah.
All right.
Be a good time.
So thank you so much, Allison, for joining us. This has been just delightful getting to know you better and hearing your music, and I'm sure that many of our listeners will be wanting you back soon. So
thank you. We'll
have to... As this project continues, too, we'll give new reports.
Sounds good. I'll be along for the ride for sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
He was a famous trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was a top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot-de-lad, a toot, he blows it into the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes a company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a buzz bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump A to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Toot 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 da da toot da da toot toot. He blows it A to the bar. He can't blow a note if the bass and guitar isn't with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He puts the voices sleep with Boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet because they know how he plays. When someone gives him a beat, he really breaks it up. When he plays reveille, he's the Boogie Boogie Bugle Ball of Company B. Da, 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 da.
When he plays reveille, he's the boogie woogie bugle ball of Company B. Wow.
Bye.